I'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name is Kevin King. I'll be your facilitator for this call, Over 60 and Loving Life, Special Edition, Dimensional Marriage. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. Again, that's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. Again, that is 630-393-9909. Well, we're just going to jump right in. Wow, we have been having some amazing sessions. Last week was no exception. We were really talking about some fantastic questions. You know, Alan had brought up, what advice can you give on specific actions to take when, you know, when I feel I'm right, my spouse feels the other way? that's kind of typical in a marriage. Opposites attract, but then there's some friction. That's good. Went through some pretty cool things. And if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to the rebroadcast. Everybody had some pretty tremendous things to say. But what's really interesting is that what I'd like to bring up for today, I'd like to see what people's thoughts are, is when your spouse is going through a difficult time at work or in the in let's say a service organization they belong to, and even though they act with integrity and other people don't, how to support them and come alongside them when they're getting pressure from the outside of the marriage. And how to do that in a way that respects your spouse and doesn't vilify the other people. So we're going to open up the lines now. Mark Boersma from Synergy Solutions, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Mark, what do you do when your spouse has been, you know, perhaps unfairly treated and attacked, not physically, but, you know, emotionally, and said that certain things were true that are not? And so how do you support them and not vilify the people and trying to get down to the truth?
This is a recorded session.
I can turn off the recording if you want.
Let me ask you a question. So, Kevin,
yeah,
would you expect to come up with an answer that probably anybody else on the planet would come up with?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, because I just want to make sure that's, you know, for the record. So when you have two kids of close age, typically.
Right.
Okay. And you walk into the room and you go ahead and see one of your children hit, you know, the other child, what do you know?
There's conflict.
Okay, good. What else do you know?
Somebody just got hit.
Okay, what else?
And somebody just hit. So you know that there's something that's escalated to that point. That isn't just a normal reaction walking into a room.
Right, okay. And so what you typically know is typically that in the personalities, the driver and the expressive child are often the one that you catch hitting.
Mm-hmm.
The analytic and the amiable are often the ones that antagonize the other ones.
And get hit.
And they get hit. And so typically the parent or in the workplace, the ones that get punished are the ones that hit, not the ones that antagonize it.
Right.
And
right.
So in Proverbs it talks about that. It says, when we hear a story, we think it's true until we hear the other side of the story.
Right.
And so, you know, my experience is that often our spouses will go ahead and share with us their side of the story, and we're like, wow, how could something be so unfair?
Right, right.
And so they're conveniently leaving something out where there's a high statistical probability. It's not always the case. It's not a Mark, that's not 100% true 100% of the time. Yeah, of course. And so, but human behavior is fairly predictable. And so I think often what husbands will tend to do is they will jump in and protect their wives.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's wrong to do either. I mean, this is the discerning thing. How do you discern? When do you allow her to fight her own fight? When is she the one that actually instigated it? And so my wife and kids typically, you know, often don't like me in the short term because I will find out where they went ahead and made the mistake to help them take ownership of the situation.
Hmm.
But you could go and default back to and go, like a husband could go, honey, that's interesting. How would you like me to reply? How would you like me to respond? My experience is typically the spouse gets upset about that, which is just intriguing. Like,
right.
You're asking how you'd want them to respond. Why would they get upset?
Because they want to be right, like we all do, and they want you to jump in and fight their fight for them.
Right, or support them or provide take their side. Yeah.
Sure.
Say, hey, you're wrong, you're this and this. So you're not immediately doing what they want you to do, so they're going to emotionally punish you.
Right.
So they're upset at they're going to do the same thing to you that somebody else did to them. Which is like, that's intriguing. Or you could say, I'm a little confused, help me out. I'm not sure how you like me to respond. Would you like me to A, jump in and just say, wow, honey, you know, let's work through this. Let's talk through this together. So A, do you want me to work with you to solve this? B, do you want me to call the person at work and take care of this? Do you want me to solve it? C, do you want me to encourage you and say, sweetheart, wow, you have all the capabilities to solve this on your own, you know, totally solve this on your own. Yeah, go for it. You got it. Just be an encourager, be a cheerleader to, you know, for you. Or D, do you want me to kind of go, and just kind of let's just talk about it. Or A, B, C, D, E. E, the hardest, you know, of all ones for husbands to go ahead and choose is, do you want me, honey, just to say, wow, this sounds like an unfixable problem. There's no hope. This is never going to be resolved. This is just, it's hopeless. It's a hopeless situation. There's nothing we can do. So which of those five, you know, which of those five would you like me to do? Now, the first time, there's a high statistical probability a wife, you know, or maybe husband, will throw something at you or hit you when you do that.
Which means they're still engaged. Right?
Right.
But think about it. They're still engaged.
Right. And so,
okay.
But then when they think about it, what they're doing, see, most of the time, they don't know which of those five they want.
Right.
So it's like Russian roulette. It's like, so, and maybe, you know, like, it's like, and they're not happy with any of them. And so if they're not clear of what they want, how in the world are you supposed to be clear as a spouse? You're not even involved. Like my uncle, Gary, I asked him, how do you be the best grandfather on the planet? He said, tell your grandkids stories. I'm like, huh. And then we were talking further. I said, do you give your kids much input? And he's a pastor, and this guy's really smart and really wise and tons of insights and does counseling. And I said, do you give them? And he's like, no, they don't, and they don't ask. Not much. I'm like, really? It's like, yeah, not so much. I'm like, are you okay with that? He's like, yeah, I really am. I'm like, I'm curious, like, why? And he's like, Mark, they are in the trenches. You know, and he's really close with his kids, grandkids. I mean, very, very close with his kids and grandkids. And he said something very humble. He said, "I don't know what's going on. I'm not in the trenches." And so how's a husband or a spouse supposed to fix something at work? They don't know what's going on. So sometime,
right,
probably not today, but sometime, ask me about my Uncle Gary and his relationship with his oldest son. I think it was his oldest son. I've never experienced anything like what he said ever in his life. It was wild. It would be so great for dimensional marriage. It'd be like, how does that work?
Excellent. Well, we could definitely do that next week. We can definitely put that up there as one of the questions among many. Alan Stein, president of Tanglewood Conservatories. How you doing, Alan?
I'm good. I'm good, Kevin.
So what do you think about this whole conflict thing? Your spouse gets involved in something, and they're bringing it to you, and now how do we respond dimensionally?
Well, you know, when my spouse has trouble with somebody at work, it's usually me.
So maybe we just need to jump in and help, or maybe we just need to stay away.
So that's a whole nother conversation, but
okay, sure.
But you know, since we're talking about dimensional marriage, we could talk about that as well. However, I have a very good friend who I've known for many, many, many years. And he's a very high-performing guy, but he's got some deficiencies in certain areas. And the way I know that he's got some deficiencies is that he has trouble holding down jobs, not because he doesn't produce, but because it goes something like this. So he gets a new job, and things are great. He's doing well. He's in sales, and he's selling stuff, and he's getting new customers, and he's making suggestions to the people about, you know, who run the company, and everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, he starts to be telling me about he's got this problem with this person in the company and that problem with another person in the company. And things sort of gradually go down. He's still performing. He's still doing his job, but it seems like people in the company are getting ticked off at him for no reason, or actually because they're stupid, because they don't understand what he's trying to tell them and how he's trying to help them improve their business. And he tells me all the great ideas that he has and things that he's told them to do and how stupid they are for not responding. And after a little while, he loses his job. And it's, you know, because they're complete idiots. And then the whole cycle starts again, and I've watched this over and over and over again for 20 years now.
Wow.
So in the beginning, I used to think, well, you know, these people that he's working for are real idiots. They don't see what a brilliant guy this is and how he knows exactly what he's doing. But after a little while, I started to get suspicious about that, and I started to question, you know, is it really all these other people or is it really him? And I think this kind of relates to what you were saying, Mark, about when the spouse comes home and tells you this, that, or the other thing. You know, how much of it is really true and how much of it is really in the other person. And I've noticed this a lot with other people of all kinds, you know, whether it's, you know, team members who work here or just friends that I have. But I think this is a common characteristic of people in general.
Interesting. So let me throw out something else. Let's say the information is in the form of an email or some other document, it doesn't matter what it is, it's pretty much evident that whatever's being said is being said, and there's full disclosure on information, which whatever that means, but at least we know what the situation is. And let's say your spouse feels completely blindsided. I didn't see that coming. And yet does introspection and, you know, confesses where they may have, you know, made a mistake, but still doesn't know exactly what's going on. But then gradually the other parties or the organization or whomever starts to give more information. Just the first bit of information was just to make somebody feel good about, you know, not being, you know, having a conflict but not being able to move forward with it. But now more and more information becomes evident, and it's pretty clear with what's happening. And let's say you both have all the information based on conversations and emails and texts and whatever it else. And people said, yeah, that's what's going on. Now what do you do?
Well, what's your role?
Yeah, what's your role?
Right, what's your role? Like, why should you do anything?
Right. As a spouse.
Right.
Well, let's say the information's unfounded.
Okay, so why should, I'm sorry, are you talking a spouse or a child, like a young child?
Spouse. A spouse. That's okay.
I mean, like a 3-year-old child, you probably would intervene, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
But a spouse, I don't know, why if it's unfounded, why can't they take care of it?
Well, let's say they bring it to you. They bring the situation to you.
Right. Why? I mean, why should you still take care of it?
Not taking care of it, but what should your role be? I mean, I like the 5 different options here. These are good things.
Yeah, they are.
They are. They are. I mean, jump in. You want me to, right. To work to solve this with you? Do you want me to jump in and solve it for you? Do you want me to encourage you to solve it? Do you want me to just talk about it with you? Or this is hopeless and it can't be resolved. You're on the floor, bleeding. And
well, it could be a lot worse. I mean, if
right,
you want to really
kicked underneath the table.
No, yeah, right. No, it could be worse. Ball bats. You could go ahead and just put your hand to your chin and go, you know, what I can't figure out. Like what I can't figure out, Kevin, maybe you guys on this call can help me, is why do I keep getting hit by my wife and girls?
Because they're hearing things they don't want to hear. Mark, my advice, and again, for whatever it's worth, and if you don't like it, it's no big deal. I'd buy a professional football helmet, and at least your head is protected, or maybe a chest guard or something, like maybe a catcher's thing, maybe a cup, chin guards, I don't know. I mean, if we're talking baseball bats, you need something more than, the ability to move.
So you might go ahead if you really want to, if you really want an exciting marriage, you might say, I had this weird question the other day, just like, honey, this is the situation and this and this and this. And you could just go, like what I've been struggling with is why do women like only make 70% of what men do? I can't figure that out.
So if you're
really
not on the call next week, we might know why.
Oh, no, she's used to that. I mean,
oh, okay. She had to desensitize them all together. Just keep asking the question over and over again until they just get tired of kicking you or hitting you or beating you with a baseball bat.
Right.
But
right.
At least she's still there, Mark. She's still engaging. And, that's encouraging. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. Chris, welcome to the phone call, man. This is pretty cool. You just came into the live event for Mastermind Seminars Live last Thursday, and dude, you've been on every call. Is that right?
Maybe not every call. I'm trying to get on every call, though.
Well, hats off to you, man. What would you like to accomplish? What do you think about this whole conflict thing? What are some of your thoughts, man?
I don't have those kind of problems. I'm not married, nor do I have a girlfriend. So,
uh-oh.
I guess I'm kind of lucky at this point in time of life.
Now is the time to learn these things, buddy.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm here. I'm definitely learning.
Dude, how old are you, Chris?
I'm 28.
Okay, so 28. So this is a, dimensional marriage. This is over 60 mm-hmm. in loving life. Mine is 28. So you got 32 years to practice, brother. So this is a good thing. You get mm-hmm. the principles. Go listen to the rebroadcasts of the past months that we've had. And this will definitely help, man.
Do you have any idea, Chris, on how this call will be substantial in changing your life and your business?
Of course. I mean, I'll be did you just say 30? I'll be 32 years ahead. So I mean,
okay, good. Any other ideas on how it might help you sooner?
Of course. I mean, I wouldn't know what to look for and, what downfalls others have experienced.
Cool.
So,
you know, do you have any ideas on how this is going to help you make you money?
Communication.
Okay, good.
And how to communicate with people.
Any other ideas?
Maybe networking, maybe.
Okay, good. Any other ideas?
No, that's all I can think of right now.
So do you remember what I said about talking to you and Wendy yesterday? Do you remember what I said about men that are, you know, over 60?
I remember bits and pieces of it, not exactly.
Okay. So that conversation is a life changer. So you probably want to get that hardbound journal, write down what I said about that. And so men over 60, typically they change, you know, they change their brains. They change the way they think, and they start to focus in on leaving a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have a son, they look for a son, or if their son is not everything that they had hoped their son to be, then they like, okay, I don't know if my son could handle, if I did give him this, I don't know if they could handle it. It might destroy my son, and I love my son so much, I'm not going to. So they'll start looking for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so over 60 and loving life, you have something of tremendous value to give to somebody over 60, because you could introduce them into this group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And any benefit they gain from this group then comes back to you. Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Angel, welcome to the call. What's your input on all this?
It's a lot to take in. You guys are throwing around a lot. I kind of agree with a little bit of everything that has been said. I think the part that would be hardest for me is if, you know, my husband was in that circumstance, with his personality, he tends to just want to figure out things on his own. So it's like, what if you have, I don't know, like, how would you support a spouse that just kind of wants to vent, you know what I mean? Instead of wanting you to find a solution, like, is the right thing just to listen, even if they're not necessarily right, or is it just to still try to help them figure it out, I guess?
Mm. Good question.
Yeah.
Let's open that up. Open that up to the group.
My interpretation of my experience, and so I have changed it from my experiences to my interpretation of my experience, Angel, is that if we allow people to just vent and just kind of throw up, that they, and we don't challenge them when they're doing that or very soon after them doing it, if we don't challenge them, it actually conditions their brain to think more the same way they're thinking. And so this is, dimensional marriage. It's people say, Mark, I can't believe I'm married for 31 years. and so there's so I think there's a tremendous danger in allowing people to just vent and not challenging the way they think, because I think it hardens the way they're thinking, their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how and when you challenge them and how you do that, that's really important and not easy to do, for sure. But I think it is important to challenge them. Or not, like Wendy has said, it's like, do people really want to solve their problem? And a lot of times they don't. They just want to complain. And my experience is people who are complainers, that doesn't go well with them. I mean, it just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so a spouse may put up with it or may actually embrace it because it's like, oh, like in a, wife situation, oh, my husband, he's expressing what he's saying and he's sharing his thoughts and he's doing all of this. That is so great. He loves me. I'm a great wife. He's a great husband. We have a great marriage. Well, maybe we're just entitling that.
Someone has just joined us late in the game here. Who's calling in from the last four digits of 3293? If you're talking, you're on mute.
773?
Yeah, 773 last. Hi,
yes.
Who's this?
Hi. Hello?
Yes.
Hi, who's this? Who invited you to the call?
She just jumped off.
Okay. All right. Very good. Got it. So we have a couple minutes left. Is there anyone that would like to jump back in, go around the other time? Alan, any final comments or thoughts?
Well, I was hoping there would be a woman on the call besides, us old, me or us guys. But Angel, are there any other women on besides Angel?
No.
Angel and four other guys?
Yeah.
So, Angel, what would you say would be a husband or boyfriend really need to do to take a marriage to another dimension but might not be doing from a woman's point of view?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's see. Well, I think, at least for, in this experience that I've had, even though it's been pretty short with Mary, but still pretty new, I think one thing that really would be good for my husband, if he was to want to take our marriage to the next dimension, is to really be intentional with asking me what I'm thinking. He doesn't really tend to do that, but he's getting better at that. But for him to really understand where I'm coming from is pretty, that really encourages me when he actually takes the time to figure out what's going on in my heart, and trying to understand that and not just trying to fix that. I think he just wants to fix everything that is going on in my life that I don't, that is either out of control or something that's bothering me, but 90% of the times I don't want the fix. I just want him, to be able to hear it and encourage me in it. And so, I don't know, with where I'm at with marriage, I think that would be the game changer for me and him. Obviously, I think there's different stages with that. I think, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, that kind of connects with what we were talking about. I think it kind of connects with the question that Kevin was originally asking. So
yeah.
Kevin, was the spouse in that situation you were talking about, were they really asking for fix-it type solutions, or were they really asking for the husband to I don't know, how did you put it, Angel?
Just to, have a deep listening to, know what's going on in my heart, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there wasn't any fix-it. That's why I threw out the, if your spouse has a conflict outside the home, spouse comes in, presents it to the other spouse, what's the next steps?
But my question is, from a guy's standpoint, I think Angel's right. We often, I know this. I do this all the time. Great. Okay, there's a problem. Good. Let me have it. Give me that monkey wrench. I'll fix it in a second.
Right.
think that I've discovered in my relationship, just like Angel says, it's not, she doesn't want me to fix it. She wants me to,
right.
To understand something about what's in her heart.
Right. Good point. Good point. Chris, any final comments?
No, I'm just, you know, listening and soaking it in.
Good deal. Angel,
and actually,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was about to say my sister. That was my sister that joined, but apparently she got disconnected. So.
I hope she can make it next time.
Yeah, I'm just kind of inviting different people, friends, and also family to the different things. Like I don't really know the, you know, I didn't put them the specific what we're going to be talking about in my phone or in my calendars, but you know, just every talk is different, and just, you know, hearing different people's experiences have you know, changed me so far, so I feel like it'd be beneficial for others. So just kind of inviting them to almost everything. And I didn't even think about inviting my mom, because she's actually off work and she's actually over 60, so I might be able to get her on maybe next Wednesday.
Wonderful.
Love to have your mom
on the phone call. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Love to have her. Well, if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this and say, wow, that was wild, that was intriguing, that was worth listening to, and if you're receiving benefit from this, then go to thevisionproject.net. Pay it forward. It's an opportunity. Click on the sign that says, what's your biggest challenge? Go to your help as needed. You'll learn more about the Vision Project and even contribute to the group-funded app, which helps you understand personality mastery, which can totally help you in your marriage. And if you do have a question about the material in today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate. Or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. Again, that's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless, and have an amazing day. Bye-bye.